Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Linda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax. And today we're going to talk about the history of Halloween in America and what the Bible has to say about things in Halloween. Before I start, I want to say something to all of you. I think some of you may be afraid or hurting or have questions and you're afraid to email me because you know how packed my schedule is. It's true, I am busy all the time, but that's been true for many years. But I want you all to understand something. I am here for you if I can be. If you need me and you have a serious problem, I want you to email me and let's see if we can do anything about it, okay? See if it's, if we can, you know, can I pray for you? Can I advise you on something? I will find the time to answer you. If I don't know the answer to your question, I will tell you that I don't know. I just want to put that out there. Our country is going through a very uncertain time right now. COVID-19 is spreading at a very rapid pace and jobs are disappearing at about the same pace from what I can tell. I think this holiday season is going to tell us a lot, and I'm talking about Christmas, is going to tell us a lot about where our economy is, but honestly, I don't know that that's going to be good news. Good thing for us that our economical well-being is not based on the world's economy, is it? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want y'all to start saying that every day. The Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want, because that word want means lack. Okay, a man was going to a Halloween party one night dressed in a devil's costume. On the way to the party, it started to rain and storm, so he decided to take shelter in the nearest building, which just happened to be a church where a revival meeting was taking place. As soon as he walked through the door, everyone turned around to see who was coming in late. When they saw him, they began to scream and scatter like a covey of quail. One lady got caught in her pew and fell down in the midst of all the confusion, and the man decided to go over and check on her and make sure she was okay. He slowly made his way over to where she was. With him standing there looking down at her, the lady said, "Satan, I've been a member of this church for over 30 years, but I want you to know that I've really been on your side the whole time." I thought that was so cute. Unfortunately, that's actually true in some people's lives, isn't it? Did y'all know that a quarter of all candy sold each year in the United States is purchased for Halloween? In 2019, the U.S. spent almost $9 billion on Halloween. On top of that, they spend another $500 million on costumes for their pets. That's kind of a neat thing. I thought it would be interesting this year to not only talk about the evils of Halloween, but to talk about the history of it. I think we all understand it's an evil holiday under any name, and that includes if you call it a celebration of the harvest or whatever. So let's talk about the history of Halloween. The information I'm about to share with you is from several sites. It's from History.com, Smithsonian Magazine, and Wikipedia. And I'm going to paraphrase the best parts that I found in all of those. Wikipedia says Halloween, aka All Halloween, All Hallows Eve, or All Saints Eve, is a celebration observed in many countries on the 31st of October, the eve of the Western Christian feast of All Hallows Day. All Saints Day, also known as All Hallows Day, Hallowmas, the Feast of All Saints or Solemnity of All Saints, is a Christian solemnity celebrated in honor of all the saints known and unknown. History.com states Halloween's origins date back to the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain. That's actually supposed to be pronounced Samhain, but I'm still going to call it Samhain because I'm Texan, okay? So the Celts, who lived about 2,000 years ago, mostly in the area that is now Ireland, the UK, and northern France, celebrated their new year on November 1st. This day marked the end of summer and the harvest and the beginning of the dark, cold winter, a time of year that was often associated with human death. Celts believed that on the night before the new year, the boundary between the worlds of the living and the dead became blurred. On the night of October 31st, they celebrated Samhain when it was believed that the ghost of the dead returned to Earth. In addition to damaging crops and causing trouble, Celts thought the presence of spirits from the other world made it easier for the Druids, which were the Celtic priests, to make predictions. These prophecies comforted them during the long, dark winter months. On the event, Druids built huge bonfires where they gathered to burn crops and sacrificed animals to the Celtic deities. During this, they wore costumes, usually animal heads and skins, and tried to predict each other's futures. The Druids believed that during Samhain, the mystic veil separating the dead from the living opened up and that those spirits were looking for a body to possess. The Celts were afraid, so they would costume as evil spirits and ghosts themselves. The Druids performed horrifying human sacrifices, including children, and performed other vile rituals during Samhain. Samhain was the original Halloween, and it was a covenant with hell and death. According to Nicholas Rogers, the Druids would drink their victims' blood and eat their flesh. There is a poem that talks about sacrificing the firstborn, which records that children were sacrificed each Samhain. Later on, they would relight the fires in their hearts from the bonfires, believing that would protect them during the upcoming winter months. By 43 AD, the Roman Empire had taken over the biggest part of the Celtic territory. Over the course of the 400 years they ruled the Celts, two Roman holidays were combined with the Celtic Samhain. Feralia, I don't know how you say that, in late October, which commemorated the passing of the dead, and a day that honored the Roman goddess of fruit and trees, Pomona, which may explain how bobbing for apples came to be associated with Halloween. The celebration of Halloween was extremely limited in colonial New England because of the strong Protestant beliefs. It was more accepted in Maryland and the southern colonies. As the beliefs and customs of ancient times began to mesh with American Indian beliefs, a distinct American version of Halloween was born. Some of the first celebrations were public events celebrating the harvest, where neighbors told ghost stories and stories about the dead, danced, sang, and predicted each other's futures. Halloween celebrations in colonial times included telling ghost stories and making mischief. By the mid-19th century, Halloween was not celebrated everywhere in the country, but annual autumn festivities were fairly common. In the second half of the 19th century, people in America began to dress up and go door-to-door asking for food or money, eventually leading to the trick-or-treating tradition we see today. In that time, apparently young women thought they could foretell their future husbands by doing tricks involving yarn, apple parings, or mirrors. At the turn of the century, Halloween moved more towards community or neighborhood get-togethers and became less about witches, ghosts, and pulling pranks. Then Halloween parties with games, food, and costumes began. In that time, there was a strong move to remove the demonic elements from Halloween. In the 1920s and 30s, Halloween became a secular community holiday with parades and town-wide Halloween parties, but vandalism began to plague the celebrations in many communities. By 1950, trick-or-treating became the preferred way to celebrate and helped prevent vandalism. Today, Americans spend $8 billion annually on Halloween, which last year was $9.5 billion, which makes it the second largest commercial holiday after Christmas. Trick-or-treating probably dates back to the early All Souls' Day parades in England, where poor citizens would beg for food and families would give them pastries called soul cakes in return for the promise to pray for their dead relatives. The practice of begging for soul cakes was called souling, and the people doing it were called soulers. The churches encouraged souling over leaving food and wine for roaming spirits. And by leaving food and wine, there was another tradition where they would just put it out on their front porch and leave it for, you know, disembodied spirits roaming around. Costuming during Halloween has both European and Celtic roots. Hundreds of years ago, winter was an uncertain and very frightening time. Food ran low, and the short days of winter were full of constant worry. On Halloween, it was believed that ghosts came back to the earth, and people believed they would encounter them if they left their houses. The costumes were supposed to make the ghosts believe that they were also ghosts and therefore leave them alone. People would put bowls of food outside their homes to appease the ghosts and prevent them from trying to come inside. In 18th century Ireland, it is said that a matchmaking cook might bury a ring in her mashed potatoes on Halloween night, hoping to bring true love to whoever found it. True love or maybe a broken tooth. In one version of a legend in Scotland, fortune tellers recommended an eligible young woman name a hazelnut for each of her suitors and toss the nuts into the fireplace. The nuts, not the gentleman, the hazelnuts. The nut that burned to ashes was said to represent her future husband. In other versions of the legend, the nut that burned away symbolized a love that would not last. They must have been very superstitious in that time. Another legend says if a young woman ate a sugary concoction made of walnuts, hazelnuts, and nutmeg before bed on Halloween, she would dream about her future husband. Young women also tossed apple peels over their shoulders and tried to read their future husband's initials in the way they landed, or tried to read their futures in egg yolks floating in water, or stood before mirrors in dark rooms holding candles and expecting to see their husband's faces over their shoulders. That's creepy. That's so creepy. At some Halloween parties, guests hunted for burrs or bobbed for apples, and it was believed that the winners would be the first to marry. Former 25-year satanic high priest John Ramirez, now a Christian, thank you, Jesus, strongly warns against celebrating Halloween in any form, calling it the devil's holiday. He says in videos on YouTube, and I'll put a link to one of those videos in the description of this show. He says in videos on YouTube that, for instance, putting pumpkins in front of your door is associated with a particular demon in Santeria. He said those pumpkins are an invitation to those demons to come inside your house. John Ramirez says one of the biggest things the devil taught him was when he said, "I love when Christians celebrate my holiday. Then they become intertwined with darkness." He said it does not matter if you are in your Bible every day. If you celebrate Halloween, it brings a 4 or 5 generational curse into your life. And he said the devil knows each generation teaches the next generation to also celebrate it. And there are churches holding harvest celebrations to replace Halloween, and that brings a curse on the church. He said we should celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, not any kind of Halloween or Halloween substitutions. He said, why would Christians ever take something of Satan and put the name of Jesus on it? John says costuming for Halloween opens you up to unbelievable attacks because it is changing your identity in the same way the devil tempted Adam and Eve to change theirs. And I love what he said. He said, we're supposed to bring the church into the world, not bring the world into the church. He is so right. Y'all ought to tweet that. That's a good quote. Anton LaVey, who started the Church of Satan years ago, thanks Christians for celebrating Satan one day every year. And the reason is because Halloween gives Satan legal right in your life to come in and destroy. Ramirez says when he was a Satanist, he would start preparing a week ahead of time for the biggest witchcraft of the year, which he would do on Halloween. I can testify that witches celebrate Halloween and cast their biggest spells of the whole year that night, because I also used to do that before I became a Christian. Witches are the reigning queens of Halloween, y'all. He says Satanists pray over Halloween candy and costumes. That means we become cursed if we eat the candy, the Halloween candy, or we wear those costumes. That ain't good, y'all. That ain't good. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. If that is not a scripture that warns us about Halloween, I don't know what is. John Ramirez calls Christians to repent for celebrating Halloween under any name. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from any appearance of evil, from all appearance of evil, avoid the appearance of evil. Y'all don't even look like you're doing something that's bad. The world is watching us to find out if Jesus is real and if they want him. Tom Sanguinet, former high priest in the Celtic tradition of Wicca, which is witchcraft, said in 2018, the modern holiday we call Halloween has its origins in the full moon closest to November 1st, the witch's new year. It was a time when the spirits, demons, were supposed to be at their peak power. And he went on to say, Halloween is purely and absolutely evil, and there is nothing we ever have or will do that would make it acceptable to the Lord Jesus. In the book, Occult Conceit, the author says on page 190, the candlelit pumpkin or skull served as a signal to mark those farms and homes that were sympathetic to the Satanist and thus deserving of mercy when the terror of, or today, trick-or-treat of the night began. Further, an old edition of the World Book Encyclopedia says, the apparently harmless lighted pumpkin face of the jack-o'-lantern is an ancient symbol of a damned soul. Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There is not a single thing celebrating Halloween that honors the Lord, y'all. There's just not. 1 Corinthians 10:20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God, and I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Halloween emphasizes fear, death, cemeteries, mummies, witchcraft, murder, torture, violence, blood, guts, and gore, and glorifies it. None of that has anything to do with Jesus. Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I have no problem admitting to you all that I hate this time of year. I detest Halloween. I detest all the decorations. I know many people just love to do those, but as a former witch, I know what they represent. And I cannot like anything about it. I won't even buy candy that comes in a Halloween package. I won't even walk beside Halloween decorations in the store. I'll walk on the other side of the aisle, go up a different aisle. Now, after researching for this show, I understand why it repulsed me so badly. For weeks now, the stores have been stocking up their candy aisles and filling shelves with decorations and costumes. Halloween is a big moneymaker for the retail sector, only second to Christmas. If my children were still small, they would be really upset with me because I would teach them the truth about Halloween and I would plead with them to never ever let their children celebrate it, but to teach them the truth too. TV schedules will be filled with scary movies all through Halloween and after. It's easy to do nothing about things like Halloween. Just keep going along with the crowd so you can fit in, right? So you can remain socially acceptable, right? So nobody gets offended, right? And who, pray tell, do we honor when we do that? I'll tell you who. Satan. Because you sure are not honoring the Lord when you do it. Every day, y'all, we make hundreds of choices, and with each one, we decide who we will honor with our words, our thoughts, and our behaviors. Is there any one of you who believes that dressing like a devil or other evil entity honors the Lord? Because if you believe that it does, you have not learned anything from any of my teachings. Those things dishonor him. They glorify the devil. Y'all ever heard that scripture? Why do you call me Lord and do not the things which I say? In his book, Celebration of the Disciplines, Richard Foster says, why allow Halloween to be a pagan holiday in commemoration of the powers of darkness? Fill the house or church with light. Sing and celebrate the victory of Christ over darkness. Amen to that. I wanted to do this podcast to share with y'all the honest truth about Halloween, in case you don't know. Now that you have heard, you know what you should do. Your conscience will tell you what to do, and it's on you which way you go. We are told to turn away from sin. The Lord tells us in the Word how to handle these kind of situations. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you, James 4:7. Anytime you encounter evil images and you place them in your house or around your house, you're giving place to the devil. You're conforming to the world. You know, I had a friend that was a police officer in Oklahoma. And there was a problem in his house, and he asked me to see if I could pray and ask the Lord to tell me what it was. So I went to his house and I did that. And the Lord said there was an evil image on something upstairs. Well, upstairs there was a room where his son used to stay. And he said, well, there's nothing in that room. I said, it's in there somewhere because the Lord says it is. And so he went upstairs. I did not go with him. He went upstairs and he searched the room and he walks back downstairs with this CD cover with this wicked image on it. And that was it. When he got rid of that, the problem was gone. I can't remember now how it was manifesting, but That's what it was. We are not supposed to give place to the devil. And you may think those images are innocent. They are not innocent. There's nothing innocent about them. And the devil knows that. He knows those are doorways. So there's the evil image thing. According to John Ramirez, and he would know, having been a satanic high priest for 25 years leading things against the Christians, there are satanic curses on the candy and on the costumes. Hello? Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, and be not, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, not be conformed, that you may prove what is good and that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you celebrate Halloween under any name, including fall harvest, fall festival, whatever, you are, because you're still really celebrating Halloween, you're just calling it something else. You are opening a door to the devil to come into your life, your church, or whatever, and wreak havoc. And it's your fault because you opened the door. At the end of the day, Halloween should come with a warning label, but it doesn't. The Word of God, however, makes it clear that we are to have nothing to do with the works of darkness. Those who do will reap consequences, especially in this time. You know, it's human nature to think if we sin, there's plenty of time to repent. But that's a lie from Satan. Let me tell you why. Because especially in this time, he will use that lie with you. Because we don't know, but Halloween this year could be that dark night when the Lord told us that many souls would wake up in hell. What if it was? What if you said, oh, well, I'll just go out and celebrate Halloween and then the next morning I'll repent, right? And then you go out and the worst happens in the United States and guess what? You're not here anymore to repent. So you died in your sin. Do you ever think about that? Just this one time won't hurt is a lie. It is a lie. Choose wisely, y'all. These are important decisions. Choose wisely. Sin is not without its consequences. I don't care what the devil tells you. It has consequences. And the more you know about what you're doing, being a sin, the bigger the consequence. And the closer you get to the end, the bigger the consequence. And the less reverence you show for the Lord because you're so quick to do a sin and say, oh, I'll just repent later, the bigger the consequence. I don't want that to happen to y'all. I don't want you to have to pay consequences. I want you to spend this time getting ready to go home because we're in the time when we're going to get to go home. I'm telling you, there are a number of us who are feeling like it's about to happen. And I'm not making this up. I have never felt what I've felt in the last few weeks. I don't know when it's going to happen any more than you do, but I'm saying get ready. Just get ready and get your stuff ready for your departure. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.
Are there areas of sin in your life you just can't seem to overcome, no matter how hard you try? Many people live their whole lives under curses, without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Learn how to defeat every curse through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. If you have the knowledge, you can break curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. In the book Loosed from Chains of Darkness, you will learn the basics of four different types of curses. Loosed from Chains of Darkness is the most comprehensive curse-breaking book on the market today. Get your copy of Loosed from Chains of Darkness by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, and audiobook versions.
Do you know someone suffering from domestic violence or another form of abuse like verbal abuse? Did you know abuse has deep spiritual roots that cause abuse to be attracted to a person throughout their lifetime? Now, the Escaping Abuse Study Guide helps you discover and remove those spiritual roots so you won't be an abuse magnet. Get the Escaping Abuse Study Guide or get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. Escaping Abuse Study Guide by Glenda Lomax. Available now on Amazon.com.
Does your life feel like it's falling apart around you? Are multiple things going wrong all at once? Does it seem all your comforts have been stripped away? You may have entered the wilderness. Wilderness experiences are often times of great discomfort and lack. Every Christian must pass through the desert on the way to their promised land. Find out how to go from surviving to thriving by partnering with God as He leads you in the path that will strengthen your faith and prepare you to step into your destiny. The Wilderness Companion will help you find out why you have been led into the wilderness. Find out the biggest hindrances to receiving the provision you need in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Learn how to partner with God in His purposes for you in the desert seasons. Get your copy of The Wilderness Companion today. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, or audiobook.